Good afternoon. Welcome to Ninercast. I'm Grant Cohn. That's Tom Jensen, who's at Ninercast on Twitter. Seems like the first wave of free agency is done because there were some pictures floating around Twitter yesterday.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook.
Just kidding. Of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan chilling in Cabo, which means like maybe they won't be signing people anytime soon. So they signed a bunch of players. They were all on defense. Now it's time to look to the draft, which is in about a month and a half. Is this where the Niners go offense heavy?
I think they do. And part of the reason they went defense heavy is players that aren't necessarily available in the draft in terms of size, for example, that 13 of the top 16 edges in the draft weigh under 260 pounds. Oh. So if you want somebody like Gross Matos, you need to go into the free agent market to get him because you're not going to get size there. So right. I think that drove part of the process. And part of it also is this, that they want that physicality. They want the NFL strength on the line. And that's something you can get in free agency.
Yeah.
And it's also mindset driven that Kyle isn't a believer in spending big in the offensive line in free agency. He just doesn't do it. And then you look at the other positions and say, okay, where would he go free agency on offense? Tight end, but the tight ends went early. You know, a lot of those tight ends went off of the availability market right away. And then it's running back, wide receiver, it's too expensive. So it kind of fits that given the mindset and their needs that they went defense in free agency, it made sense.
So if they're going to go offense early, do you think that they're actually, even though they re-signed John Feliciano, they extended Colton McKivitz, they're not super invested in either player. You think they'll still go offensive line with their first pick?
I think they might, but it's not where people want it to be spent. People want it to be spent at right tackle. I think that it's more likely to be center than Graham Barton from Duke, who is a tackle at Duke, but is projected by everybody to be a center in the league. And so I think that he's somebody they would look at. Zach Frazier from West Virginia is climbing up the boards. He's early second, maybe late first. So you got two centers that you can look at there. But I don't think they're going to take a tackle unless somebody falls to them, or they make an unexpected move up.
You know, I was a little surprised that they traded for Malik Collins. I mean, signing Jordan Elliott, I didn't think changed anything. He felt like a replacement for Kinlaw, who got a little bit more money than Jordan Elliott. But then they went and traded for Malik Collins, traded a seventh-round pick for him, which isn't a lot, but he's going to be making a little bit more than $10 million a year. Is that correct?
Yeah,
you're paying him to be a starter. The Texans didn't really want him anymore. He's not as good as Armstead, unless Armstead's hurt. I was thinking the Niners would spend their first round pick on a defensive tackle and get someone like with premium talent, but now I'm not so sure.
It depends on who's there. Part of the thing is that with Aaron Donald retiring, that the Rams will probably now go defensive tackle with their pick. They weren't expected to before. So Byron Murphy from Texas probably goes by the Rams pick, if not before. And then the Rams might take a look at Jershon Newton from Illinois also. And those are the only two guys that would go first round at D tackle. So I think they're both gone before 31.
Makes sense. So they have to move up. You get a non-premium position at 31. That's okay. I still think that the Niners are going to go defense heavy early in the draft. Maybe I'm wrong. We could talk
they
about
could. What,
yeah. I just get the feeling that this is a theme for the offseason. The theme for the offseason is the Niners offense ranked second in yards in yards gained. It was a great offense. And what they need to do is stay intact. Whereas the defense ranked eighth in yards allowed, which was just unacceptable. And they got to get this right, which is incredible because if you look at the points rankings, they both ranked third. But if you look at the yards, then the offense was much better than the defense. I don't know. It seems like Kyle's looking at the team the way he wants to.
Yeah. Well, and Kyle's going to do that. And since Kyle's the true GM, as I always say, you know, Lynch answers to him. Lynch isn't making these calls. Kyle is. He's the final say. And so what Kyle's philosophy holds is we don't need to take offensive linemen early. You know, that's not what we do. But the thing is, you've got a draft that's the best in over a decade in talent. That you've got six guys who can start day one at tackle. And you're going to just ignore that when Trent Williams is 2 years away from retirement. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but Kyle's going to Kyle. He's going to do what he believes in. And so I think that's possible. I don't think that's advisable, but I think it's what he's going to do. Defense early, maybe. It's going to depend on who's there. And defensive tackle, I don't think is going to be there.
Yeah, his whole philosophy with the Niners is defense first, run game, yards after the catch, which is basically like three different ways to work around a subpar quarterback and a subpar offensive line, which it seems like the Niners, Kyle Shanahan in particular, embraces.
It's
more than he ever dreamed. And the offensive line is good enough.
Why are you tying your hands behind your back when you could make life so much easier if you just get tackles and you address the right side of the line? What's so hard? You know, the one thing that gives me hope is that Kyle does value center, that when they had Alex Mack, they did well. The Weston Richburg, who they acquired. So at least he shows some semblance of priority at center, but not at tackle. And that's part of what drives my thinking that they could look at Barton at 31.
Definitely. Yes. Tell me about Barton.
He's played all three positions. He started out at Duke as a center, played well. Then they moved him to guard, and now he's been at tackle, and he's quite good. He has only given up, I think, one sack, one or two pressures this year. And technically sound. You know, I talked with Lance Zierlein of NFL.com about him, and he says, perfect fit for the Shanahan offense. And Zierlein knows, you know, he has spent his time in Houston. So he was there when Gary Kubiak was running the Texans. So Zierlein knows this offense really well. He knows when it's a great fit. And also his dad was an OL coach for 30 years. So he knows offensive line really well. So when Zierlein tells me perfect fit, he'd be ideal, I pay attention to that. I think it's worth listening to him on that. And then his compatriot at NFL.com, Daniel Jeremiah, also a heavy believer in Barton. And Lewis Riddick from ESPN said point blank, all pro. Now, you can say, you know, what you want in terms of evaluation. Those three guys that know what they're talking about, who all say that Barton's going to be impact. And you look around the league and you say, okay, who are some of the better teams? Creed Humphrey, one of the best centers, Kansas City. And then you've got Kelsey that just retired in Philly, but he anchored the best line in the league. And Linderbaum in Baltimore. Centers are having an impact in the league right now. The common thinking is, center, it's poor positional value. But it's not if they're great, and Barton is great. And that's part of why you consider him.
Sure.
And he's a good system fit, too.
Brendel's solid, but he's not great. Okay, so now that we've seen what the Niners have done in the first wave of free agency, what does it look like they're going to do in the first three rounds of the upcoming draft?
Okay, so I had Barton as one possibility. I think they'll also look at wide receiver. And another theme of this draft might be, and this is calling back to IU, that Shanahan is close to Texas, the program there with Steve Sarkisian. And there's two receivers and one tight end at Texas, where it could work the way it did with Ayuk at ASU when you had Herm Edwards as the head coach there, and he was talking to Lynch about Ayuk saying, this is the guy. You could have Sarkisian talking to Shanahan saying, this is the guy. It could be a similar process. They've done it before. Mm. And so I think that there's a possibility that they're going to look at those three Texas players closely. So one of them is A.D. Mitchell. He's 6'2", 205, big catch radius, great hands. But he's got some Debo in him. When the play isn't called for him, he loafs. And so I don't know if the Niners want to repeat that. He's got good speed, you know, 4.34. But because he's light, he doesn't have a lot of yak ability. The reverse of that is Keon Coleman from Florida State, big guy, 6'3", 213, but 4.61, 40, so he's a little bit slower. Big catch radius, excellent size, great blocker, makes circus catches, and he's a kick returner. So that's somebody that's another bonus. But he doesn't separate well. He relies on his physicality. He doesn't have quick feet to separate. And the third one at receiver is Ladd McConkey from Georgia, who's the best technician. He's got great feet. His footwork's the best in the draft. But he's small. He's 6 feet, 186, ran a 4.39.40. He can separate. He's got a track background. He does everything Kyle wants in terms of route running. But he's a little light. He's not going to be able to block as well. And his hands are okay, not great. So when you look at those three guys at receiver, I wonder if the Niners pass on those. It's another reason why I think they take Barton at 31.
Do you think the 49ers are looking for a day one starter in the draft?
I hope they are. and this draft provides it. It's, but I think the thinking has to be, who's the highest impact player we can get? And so I think that they're looking at offensive line at center and the tackles. I don't think that they will, unless somehow Amarius Mims falls to them or close enough to trade up, or Latham, either one of those guys. I think I could see them trading up if it's a low enough price. But if it's Tyler Guyton, if it's Jordan Morgan, Guyton is size, but he doesn't have weapons. Morgan is pass pro, but not run block. And I don't know if Kyle is going to value somebody that's the inverse of what he values. So I think those tackles he would pass on as well. So again, that lands me back on Barton. But I do think that they could look at receiver at 31, depending on how they value guys, especially the Texas guys. So that's Mitchell, that's Xavier Worthy that broke the 40 record. You know, both of those guys they'll look at. But mainly there's two groups of receivers. There's three guys late first, and then there's another three that are early to mid second. And they have to decide which group they would want to draft from. If they want to draft the latter, they can trade back.
Yeah, you know, if they're interested in trading Deebo Samuel after June 1, they could draft a wide receiver in round 1 or 2 or 3, and then trade Deebo Samuel June 2 or whenever for a player at another position. That could work.
Right. So I see that as part of the thinking is that they're going to look at receiver, especially in the first three rounds, because that's where the talent is. Mm. And so you draft where it's available. Makes sense for them.
I'm thinking if the Niners, it seems like they've been doing a lot of redshirting the last few years. Yeah. And it hasn't been that effective. It didn't work for Trey Lance. It worked for Aaron Banks, but mostly it hasn't worked. And if this is their first round pick in years, they could spend it on a great center and I don't know, start, they could start it right away somewhere. It seems to me that player needs to be starting. They should not spend pick 31 on a red shirt player. So what positions potentially could the Niners draft a starter at?
At center with Barton, at wide receiver in terms of a starting slot guy, tight end if it's available, though I think they go tight end in the second or the third, because you know, the best tight end is Bortles, but he's gone in the mid first, so he's not available. And then there's a big drop to the second level. Defensive tackle, but it's not there. Edge, it is there, but why do you take Chop Robinson when you've got Robert Beal? It's the same player, it's the same skill profile. You know, you might believe in Chop and do it. We'll see. Darius Robinson, the edge, the sort of hybrid inside-outside guy from Missouri, he's someone that's viewed as a potential Armstead replacement, so he's someone they can look at also. Linebacker, it would be too early. Defensive back, there are guys that I love who are great against the run and in coverage, like Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, but they're not showing an indication of leaning in that direction. They had a formal meeting with Kool-Aid McKinstry, but he had the Jones fracture, so he has to prove his health before the draft if they're going to be interested in him. So I think those are the positions. It's mainly center, receiver, and then maybe defensive end if they're really sold on somebody.
Caesar says, really been enjoying Tom on the show and the coach show. Incredibly knowledgeable, great insight.
Thanks, Caesar. Agree. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Caesar. All right. I was just asking you about positions the Niners could draft starters at. Are the 49ers looking for a starting free safety? I ask because Mike Silver reported a few days ago that Talanoa Hufanga has not been assured a starting job coming back from a torn ACL, which just raises all kinds of questions. I think most people assumed that Hufanga and Jair Brown would be playing side by side for years to come, but it's possible the Niners see both of them as strong safeties and will be looking for someone else to replace Tashawn Gibson, in which case they could draft a safety in round one. How do you view their
There's really no talent to merit that. This is a very weak class at the top in safety. Cooper DeJean from Iowa is thought that he'll migrate to safety like Ronnie Lott did, where he started at DB, and he's probably best at safety. It's a question of when do you make that transition? Would you value him? Yeah, I'm not sure. And he has a leg injury, so he has to prove his value also. He's going to work out for teams right before the draft to show that he's capable. He's going to have his pro day like April 10th, I think it is, something like that. It's going to be really late in the process. And so there's really not anybody that you can take early in the draft, but there are players they've targeted there's a rumor that they're going to bring in Sione Vaki from Utah. He's a safety, but he's a fourth round guy. And so some of the players that they're looking at safety in the draft would be fourth round picks. Vaki is one of them, or, you know, possibly, you know, a higher pick on Malik Mustafa. But I think that Vaki is the guy that they're focused on. If there's somebody they're bringing in for a 30 visit, that's something to really pay attention to.
Okay.
In terms of free agency, I think that market's going to stall because all those guys got let go because they're too expensive. And so they're going to wait to see, I want to get paid what I used to get paid. Nobody will. And then it's going to be a standoff. And the free agent safety market's just going to stand still for a while until somebody finally says, okay, I'm willing to take a little bit less if I get a good deal. It's probably the best I can do. Once that domino falls, then the others do. But until then, a player like Justin Simmons isn't going to sign. So the safety market is just going to be frozen in free agency. And the Niners in the draft, they're looking fourth round only. You okay, Grant? You froze on there.
I'm looking at their depth chart right now. And sorry, I was looking at their depth chart and killed my computer. I'm seeing Talanoa Hufanga, Jair Brown, George Odom, and that's essentially it at safety.
Yeah.
So whether or not they're looking for a starter, they are in the market for another safety, no question about it. Right. And
but in the draft, it appears that they're looking for a backup.
Okay. So do you think week one the starters will be Hufanga and Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they have questions about Hufanga?
They do. Well, part of the reason that you draft Jair Brown is you have questions in the back of your head already.
Yeah.
I think that while he got an all pro, there's still limitations to Hufanga's game. And, you know, they're worried long term, can we afford to pay all pro money to a guy that's not an all pro athlete?
Right.
The other question I have with Hufanga is his blitzing capability, where he can get in the backfield, but he can't finish. He doesn't close on quarterbacks and sack them. And that's part of the value of Jair Brown is that he got sacks in college at Penn State, got two sacks in the Rose Bowl. So you got somebody like that. I think that they're probably looking at Jair as the long-term solution at strong safety, and they're keeping their eyes open at free safety to see what they can do. And that's going to depend on free agency. But I don't think you're going to find a starter in the draft at safety.
Is it possible that the 49ers – okay, you think they draft a safety and redshirt him and then have him potentially take over for Hufanga in a year?
Maybe so.
Maybe so. The redshirt program that works so well for the 49ers.
Yeah. As long as nobody gets hurt, we're fine.
Okay, let's check out our sponsor, BetUS. Hold on. Boom. There we go. What kind of special wagers they got for us today? Teams most likely to go 17-0. Teams most likely to go 0-17. Projections for the Falcons, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson. How about Russell Wilson? That's kind of fun.
Okay.
He's over in Pittsburgh now, along with Justin Fields. Russell Wilson to lead the NFL in regular season passing yards.
No.
You get plus 3,000 odds on it, though. I'm trying to put some $10 bets down just for the fun of it.
Okay.
Russell Wilson to lead the NFL in regular season passing touchdowns, plus 5,000. Yikes. Russell Wilson will throw 3,500 plus regular season passing yards. Now that could happen.
He can do that. But the first two, 4,000 plus. Science fiction. Yeah.
4,000 plus. I don't see that one happening.
No.
4,500. Yikes. 25 plus touchdown passes, 30 plus touchdown passes. Let's see. What were his numbers last year? Let's see. This is important. We really need to get this. I got to make some money. Russell Wilson last year threw for 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 picks. I mean,
in how many games?
15.
Okay.
Not terrible, but not great.
No, no. And Tomlin likes to run, so.
He does. Over under 19 passing. Jeez. I'm going over. No, okay. But I want to make some real money. So let's find a ridiculous odd. Plus plus 5,000. Oh yeah, there it is.
Just
for the heck of it, $10 for him to lead the league in passing touchdowns to make 500. Oh yeah,
yeah, that's
definitely happening.
That's a gimme.
Oh, it's a gimme. I mean, you can't pass up action like that. Is what I've learned.
No.
In 36 years on Earth. I mean, can we get some more action? I'm into it. I need one more. Kirk Cousins, Washington. How about Saquon Barkley?
Okay.
Saquon Barkley to lead the NFL in regular season rushing touchdowns. Why not? Oh, because Jalen Hurts is going to take him.
That too.
Saquon Barkley lead the NFL in rushing yards. I like that one. I like that one. $10 to win 180. Oh, man, just throwing money away. If you want to be like me, go check out BetUS. Hold on, let me.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
I'd like to see BetUS do a prop on where Brandon Ayuk's going to play next year.
There you go.
I mean, the Jaguars seem interested, and I get it because their general manager is Trent Baalke. And if anyone knows Trent Baalke, it's Niner fans. He cannot scout the position, can't draft it. So when someone else does, he's interested because Brandon Ayuk is a sure thing. You know exactly what you're getting, and you can kind of project what he'll be with more targets. So I could see the Jaguars being interested. They don't have a go-to guy in their passing game. They have a young quarterback. They need to give him a top option. Why not?
Because the 17th pick is worth more than Brandon Ayuk.
Ooh. Okay. So
but it's true.
The Bills traded the 22nd pick to the Vikings for Stephon Diggs. Plus, there were other picks thrown in there as well. But that was the big one. 22nd is different than 17, but that happened 4 years ago. I guess the league has changed a little bit since then.
Well, I'm making this more about this draft. You've got six day one starters who can play left tackle, which happens every 5 years if you're lucky.
Mm.
So in this draft, having the 17th pick is more valuable. And even Baalke knows that there are four great receivers in this draft. The top three are unbelievable. The fourth one is Brian Thomas from LSU. He's already there. All you have to do is take Thomas. You don't need to evaluate him at all. And so you can get Brian Thomas at 17. And it'll cost you $10 million less than Ayuk. So why don't you do that? Now, I think that...
Because Trent Baalke shouldn't trust his ability to scout wide receivers.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't even have to scout Brian Thomas. Other people can do it for him and say, this guy's very good. You know, it's not like what he did with the Niners where he just took flyers on really stupid picks. In this case, it's widespread consensus. He's the number four receiver. He'll be there at 17. Boom. And he brings a lot of the skill sets that Ayuk does in terms of being a complete player with some physicality. And the other option, of course, is he takes one of those tackles. And that's the real reason you keep that pick, is it has value. And the other thing I think Baalke's trying to do is he's trying to create leverage of saying that Ayuk wants to come here. We want to have him. So we're not going to give you our 17th pick. You have to. We're only going to give you our second round pick. And then it gets dialed down. I mean, this trade only happens if the 17th pick is in it. I highly doubt that Baalke's willing to do that. I don't think he'd be willing to give 17. If he is, make the trade, get Amarius Mims. If he's not, which I think is what will go down, the Niners will end up keeping Ayuk eventually, but it's going to be knockdown, drag out.
Is it possible that Trent Baalke is trying to just ruin the negotiations for his former employer? Like, oh, you want...
Yeah, I'm sure it's a Christmas gift from Baalke, too.
Yeah, let me drive the price up. Go.
Yeah.
Let me drive the price up. Oh, you thought he was $26 million? Nah, it's $28. Because we pay him $30.
Right.
Don't forget that, Brandon.
There's no intention of actually getting him. Yeah, it's just, if you look at this draft, it's just there's too much value at 17 to trade for, even though as great as Ayuk is, you know, for somebody that's a receiver, when receivers are being cranked out every year that are elite, it's not worth it to spend $25 million on a receiver at this time in the draft history and process where so many receivers are coming out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When the Bills traded for Stephon Diggs, he'd already signed his extension a few years before. with the Vikings. Now, if you're going to trade the number 17 pick for Brandon Ayuk, you also have to give him the signing bonus and the whole contract. It's a lot to give up. Yeah, so maybe you won't get that. Yeah.
I just think that on balance, that Balke is just trying to gum up the works.
Yeah.
And that basically he's not willing to give 17, nor should he.
No. So this is good news for Niner fans that want Brandon Ayuk to stick around.
Also, it seems to me, in my opinion,
pretty clear that the whole thing with I was an English major at UCLA, and I think in themes. What is the theme of this offseason? Keeping the offense together.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle's quite satisfied with it. He's not going to overreact or whatever to the one game in the Super Bowl. He thinks the offense is great, historically good. Okay. Well, then Ayuk staying. Debo staying.
Yeah.
These guys are all staying.
But to keep Ayuk, he's going to have to promise him to get number one touches and be more featured in the offense. And I think that's something they should do anyway, is that that's where the offense should lead. Now that you've got Brock Purdy, you should lead with your best weapon. It should be your quarterback having more of a say in what this offense does. And you've got a teamwork, a partnership between Purdy and Ayuk that's successful. Keep building on that, leverage it.
Do you know which player on the 49ers led the team in catches in the playoffs?
McCaffrey?
Yeah. That can't happen anymore. I think the offense is too McCaffrey-centric. He's a really good player, but so is Brandon Ayuk. So is Debo Samuel. Like, so is George Kittle. You're spending all this money to have not one weapon, but four or five. So it can't just be the McCaffrey show. Because frankly, as a receiver, he doesn't scare anyone. He averages like 8 yards a catch. He's good. He's good. But
he's good.
Ayuk scares people as a receiver. That's your leading receiver.
And, right.
You know.
Well, how much, I guess my question to you is, how much of that is hot reads in terms of the passes to McCaffrey?
So I that's a good question. But I don't think you should be in a position where the defense is dictating to you that, 40% of your plays go to one guy who's 200 pounds.
Right. Well, I think that the whole point of McCaffrey in large part is to focus the defense's attention on him, which then means that you pivot away from him and go elsewhere.
Right.
That's what I don't get, is that McCaffrey should be your decoy unless he's carrying the ball. You know, I don't think that there's a need to throw this much to McCaffrey. And if you've got the great partnership between Ayuk and Purdy, use it. And part of that also would then dictate, and Kyle will hate it, but if you draft in the offensive line, in the best offensive line draft in over a decade, and you get better on the offensive line, you give more protection, now Purdy can throw to Ayuk more. You know, why not?
Yeah, no, it seems to me that if the Niners don't trade Ayuk and they give him the money that he's looking for and they make him one of the highest paid wide receivers in the league, then they really have to commit themselves to getting him the ball.
Yeah.
Like, no more of these 40-yard games. Like, he needs to get 9, 10, 11 targets in every game. Otherwise, what are you paying for?
Right. Well, and Ayuk is so great at separation, he's ideal for what your offense wants anyway.
But the problem is,
the whole point of this offense in terms of the skill sets is get it to Ayuk.
Right. But the problem is, Brandon Ayuk, I mean, he's running real routes that take a couple seconds to win on. And the Niners offensive line doesn't always give Brock Purdy that time. So it seems like if you're going to give Brandon Ayuk all this money without spending at all on your offensive line, it kind of like doesn't take full advantage of what Brandon Ayuk could be. All of a sudden, instead of him running, you know, double moves and post corners and touchdown routes, he's running slants. Hot routes.
Because he has to.
And
that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that Ayuk's fate needs to be tied to what Purdy can do and therefore the offensive line.
Right.
And all of that should be integrated, and it's not. And it's because Kyle has this fixated mindset of thou shalt not spend on the offensive line in free agency or the draft. It's just stop it. You know, Garoppolo is no longer your quarterback.
Right.
Adjust.
It's crazy to me. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to spend all this money on Brandon Ayuk, but you don't spend on pass protection.
Yeah.
And
why
you
are you
don't
spending
pass
$50
million
at receiver when you don't have a good offensive line.
Yeah, you're 32nd in pass attempts, and your offensive line can't pass block. But you're so why are you doing this? Because you're afraid of criticism? Because everyone will say you're crazy if you trade Brandon Ayuk? Like, yeah, they would. But if you keep them and you don't use them, people are going to say you're crazy down the line. Like, look what happened with Debo. You gave Debo the money. Everyone said you were smart and it was the right thing to do. And now everyone agrees that was a bad move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
just, you actually have to justify it. Yeah.
You have to understand the connections here, Kyle. It's just, you know, the line that I use in the offensive line is a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
If you invest in that offensive line, not only are you enabling Purdy, who's 8% better in completion percentage in a clean pocket, you're enabling Ayuk, you're enabling Debo, and you're enabling McCaffrey, and you're enabling your running game to go right and left. Super Bowl, you know, 13 carries, 70 yards left, 11 carries, 23 yards right. You can't go right. So yeah, if you value run blocking that much, then why aren't you investing in the right side of the line with the run block?
I mean,
the very least.
To me, where this offense got out of whack in terms of spending was Debo. Like,
yeah,
Debo had that one season where he went crazy and was playing a lot of running back, and they paid him all this money, like he was going to be this perennial All-Pro who leads the team in touches and yards from scrimmage. But then they traded for McCaffrey, and as soon as they traded for McCaffrey, that contract for Debo became ridiculous because now it's McCaffrey's offense.
Yeah. Debo became a redundant piece.
He's totally redundant. Yeah. Completely. What they need is anything but that. They need another wide receiver who can beat man-to-man coverage, or another tight end, or another starting offensive lineman. Anything but a wide back? No, you got McCaffrey now. You don't need it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And they're going to need to make that the mission over the next couple of years is you're going to have to pivot off of both McCaffrey and Debo.
Right.
Then what? And right. That plays into this draft in terms of, okay, so what are you going to do? And going back to who they might draft, second round, another Texas guy that they'll look at is Jatavion Sanders from Texas. He's another tight end. He should be there at 63. They might look at him. Or they might look at Theo Johnson from Penn State, tight end in the third round. So either one of those guys are a possibility. And I think that that's probably what they're going to do because they couldn't go to free agency for tight end. They're going to have to go to the draft.
It's going to be real interesting, you know, if they give $25, $26, $27 million a year to Ayuk and then turn around next year and give $50, $55, $60 million a year to Brock Purdy, at a certain point, the Niners are going to have to change what they do on offense. Like,
yeah, and the sooner the better.
You just gave all this money to your quarterback and your wide receiver. Like, can you please become a passing team? So, like, McCaffrey's going to have to go. Juszczyk's going to have to go. Debo's going to have to go. All these glorified running backs are going to have to go, and you're going to have to actually invest in the passing game. Pass protection, right tackle, left tackle, center, wide receivers. They're so close. It seems like they're getting there, but it's like a couple years away.
Well, all it would take is 1 year if they committed to it. And it's just, yeah. And as always with me, I borrow from Walsh. You can say, okay, 81 draft, he used three of the first four picks for Ronnie Lott, Eric Wright, Carlton Williamson, instant secondary. Mm-hmm. Could the Niners do the same thing with this draft? Center guard, tackle, instant right side of the offensive line. Yeah. And it would be best player available because they're so talented. There's no reason not to do that other than Kyle Shanahan's the real GM.
Okay. Lot of backup quarterbacks change teams this offseason. It really seems like the NFL isn't too enamored with the draft class of quarterbacks because any team that needed a quarterback got one in free agency. I mean, Mac Jones got traded. Justin Fields just got traded. Like, it felt like 15 guys. There was like a whole quarterback carousel, except for the Niners. They were real calm about it. They let Sam Darnold go. I mean, he might be. Who's to say he's not the next Steve Young? Kyle Shanahan once said, they don't need him anymore. Forget about it because they got Brock Purdy and Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen is 31 years old. He's been around. Everyone says he's great in the meeting room. I watched him in training camp with the threes. He looked pretty good in camp. He's 31, though, and he started 9 games in his career, and he's won 2 of them. And his quarterback rating is like 79 or something. So, if Brock Purdy misses a game or a month or a season, which happens to quarterbacks, especially on the Niners, are they, can they get by? Can they win with Brandon Allen?
Based on his career, no. Two wins.
Two.
Part of it is Kyle betting on himself, that he's saying that, no, I'm good enough that I can get.
Kyle betting on himself. It's a new one.
Who would have thunk that? You got to look at it and just say that, okay, he believes that he can scheme guys open, that Brandon Allen has the see it through it capability that Kyle demands from his quarterback. And so he can somewhat run the offense. Now, the problem is that if Purdy were to go down for more than a game or two, then what? And so I think that, unfortunately, it seems to me that if you play Kyle and project how he's thinking, it's, I'm going to wait and see if Zach Wilson is cut. And if not, then I'm going to draft a quarterback late.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, that's an even worse idea than Sam Darnold.
Zach Wilson. Yeah. Because anytime you can get a failed Jets quarterback, you got to be all over that. Anytime you get a fired Chargers coach or a failed Jets quarterback, Kyle Shanahan's like, what?
Yeah, yeah. I've got a reclamation project. Oh, boy.
The thing about Zach Wilson compared to Sam Darnold, neither one is good at the sport, per se. But people seem to like Sam Darnold. I've met Sam Darnold. He seems like quite a likable person. Not a lot of people seem to like Zach Wilson.
No. And that's the other reason why you don't, is that even at BYU, he had a reputation as kind of above it all with everybody else, that he was kind of a spoiled rich kid. And the Jets reaffirmed that. The Jets were not exactly enamored with his leadership. So I don't think you can go with Zach Wilson, because he's going to piss a lot of people off.
Also,
in addition to not playing well.
Yeah, there's that. Also, he sucks.
Yeah. So why?
Terrible. So
quarterback in the draft, I think that they can look at, there's plenty of Purdy clones. They've looked at some people. The quarterback from Tulane they met with, he goes in the fourth round. I don't think that they'll take a quarterback that early. It's more likely that they go, you know, sixth, seventh on UDFA. And so that would be like Devin Leary from Kentucky, Austin Reed from Western Kentucky. He's the quarterback that threw to Malachi Corley. So, you know, those guys would make sense. And they're all Purdy clones in that they're good processors. They see the field. They react well.
Trying to think thematically here, as I said, because I'm an English major. And it seems to me what the Niners are trying to express with their moves is that they have 100% confidence in Brock Purdy. So... yeah. Sam Darnold, who they love, they don't need him anymore because Brock Purdy is great. So they're going to go with Brandon Allen, who poses zero threat to Brock Purdy. And it seems like they could draft a quarterback in round three, but people would interpret that as, oh, are they not 100% behind Brock Purdy? So I think they'll wait as long as possible. They may draft one in round seven. They may not draft one at all. They may just bring in Camp Arms. And it's all to project confidence, which is great. But what's going to happen if he misses time? Because I don't care how much confidence you project, that's not going to help Brandon Allen.
And if you're not going to invest an offensive line in the draft, he's going to be more vulnerable on top of that. And you were lucky that Purdy played all the games that he did coming off of the elbow surgery. It was miraculous he didn't miss any games. Now you're going to count on that. Now, one of the flaws of Shanahan is he tends to wish things into being. And one of those is backup quarterback. We're not going to need it. Purdy plays all the time. He doesn't miss games.
He didn't get hurt last year.
That's wishing things into being. It happened last year. Can it happen a second year in a row? Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, if they draft a quarterback in round three, to me, that doesn't indicate that they're not confident in Purdy. It just shows that they're in tune with reality. Like, they need a guy who can play. If Purdy goes down, it's not Brandon Allen, and it probably isn't anyone in round seven. So maybe they could get someone in round three or round four that could be ready to go when necessary. Because look what the Bengals – I mean, like, obviously if Purdy goes down for the whole year, the Niners are in trouble. And when I say in trouble, they're screwed. But if he goes down for a month or two or three, like – there are backups who could keep the Niners afloat long enough for Purdy to come back. I mean, that's what Purdy originally was. People thought Jimmy was coming back until they realized he was way better than Jimmy. I mean, you can get guys like that. Jake Browning was that for the Bengals last year. Seems like with a roster as good as this, the Niners should definitely have a backup they can win with. And it ain't Brandon Allen. I'm sorry.
No, no way. And so the other problem, as you pointed out earlier, is that all those free agent quarterbacks are gone.
Yeah.
So people that would make sense say, well, what about that guy? He's already taken. He's spoken for. So Michael Pratt from Tulane is the guy they met with. He's projected right now as a fourth rounder. They have three fourth round picks, so they could have that as one of them. But I think that they could also look at moving one of those fourth round picks to go higher up in the third or elsewhere in the draft. It's where they can pivot. So we'll see what they do.
It would just be awkward for them to draft a quarterback in round three, because I think that would mean that he'd be making more money than Brock.
Yeah, for this year. But then that's always going to happen. You know, even if you draft a guy in the fourth, he'd be making more money than Brock.
That's awkward. And that's why I don't think they will.
Yeah, that's why I don't think they will. Pratt's a good player. I think that he could work for them. And he's another one that's sort of a Purdy clone. And there's some good players in this draft that they could take. There's some that I would avoid. Joe Milton from Tennessee's got the huge arm, but he's not accurate and he doesn't process quickly. And so if that's the issue there, if he throws late and if he throws inaccurate, you can't work in this system.
Right.
So I don't think that Melton is necessarily going to work. I like Jordan Travis from Florida State, but he's coming off of a huge injury. You have to see what the medicals have to say about him. To his brother, it's more of the same. He's a lesser version. So pretty soon you're finding yourself in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. And then you're looking at Devin Leary, Austin Reed. I'd rather have Leary or Reed.
I mean, he might fit the system. What's Tua's brother's name? Tua brother. Okay.
Taluia.
Let's bring up his resume. Okay.
Well, stats. I can give you the stats. 3,400 yards, 75% completion percentage, 25 TDs, 11 picks, 25
I'm just looking at the whole thing.
He played 4 years. Worthy plays.
He played 4 years. He threw 1,400 passes. I mean, completed 67% of his throws. I mean, look, round seven?
No.
How old is he?
He's 24. He's viewed as a late day three, so he's six or seven.
That's the one. Is he lefty or righty? I've never watched him play.
I don't know. I haven't seen.
That's the
one. I
don't
know if he's – okay.
Because Kyle's going to try to one-up Mike McDaniel. Oh, you think you can make Tua look good? I can make his brother look good. How about that?
Okay, there you go. That'd be interesting.
I'm calling it right now. Tua's brother on the Niners this year.
Okay. For me, I like what I saw. I have watched Austin Reed and Devin Leary, and I think that they could fit the system and play well. But yeah, to his brother, you never know. some stuff from the draft. Yeah, it's worth a shot. What the heck? The draft is asking about the legacy guys. No, none of them are BPA where they would be drafted. I wouldn't pick any of them. I'm unpopular with that. I'm a Scrooge, but I don't want any of those guys. They're not what they need. Sorry. Xavier Leggett is somebody who was saying, what about him? Niners are interested. They had a formal meeting with Leggett. He's somebody that's kind of in the twilight zone and that he's projected to go early 50s. So to get Leggett, they would need to trade 63 and 94, their second and third round pick, to go up and get him. I'm not sure they're willing to do that.
I like that how you misspoke right there, to go up and get him. I like that.
So
we got to get him just so we can make puns like that for the rest of his career.
Oh, man. Yeah,
he can go up and get the ball, can he?
And he can, too. Leggett's a great player.
With a name like that, he has to.
Yeah. The problem is just that how do you get to the early 50s? It's really hard, and they would have to give up a pick they don't want to give. So they would have to trade to get there, or they would have to trade way down from 31, which I don't think they'll do either. So he's just in the twilight zone. They can't get to him.
But this guy says this guy owns one blazer. Let's listen to him. Damn. He's got a good point.
Okay, go get some more.
I got to get more blazers. People are starting to notice. All right, well, that's all we got for today. Maybe the Niners will do something tomorrow.
They've always got something up their sleeve.
They do. Tom, great stuff as always.
Yeah. Thanks, Grant. Great time.
All right. I'll be back tomorrow, guys. Have a good one.